In the Gospel, we want to turn to John's Gospel in the chapter 7 for a reading. John chapter 7. We want to enter the chapter at verse 37. John 7, the verse 37. Let's hear the word of the Lord. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people therefore, when they had heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people, who knoweth not the law, are cursed. Nicodemus said unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? And they answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look. For out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. Let's keep God's word open. Let's bow and engage in prayer for one final time. Our Father in heaven, we come before thee tonight in all of our need, in all of human frailty. We're fully aware, dear God, that it is not oratory required tonight to raise dead and sinners out of their sin to new life in Jesus Christ. We're fully aware that it takes resurrection power to attend the preaching of the word, to bring men and women out of darkness and into the light of the gospel. It takes a miracle of God's grace. And so, Lord, we're shut into thee tonight. We're shut into a work of God in this meeting. Something from heaven. This is what we need. This is what sinners need. This is what the ungodly need as they meet with us. Father, they're untroubled at this present moment of time. But we believe that in a moment, just a moment, God can come. Touch the heart. Grant the gifts of faith and repentance. And bring sinners to new life in Jesus Christ. And so for the moments that remain to us, we pray for the infilling of thy Spirit. Pray for power. We pray, O Father, that you'll take control and possession of this mere man, that you'll fill us with the Holy Ghost, so that we might exalt Christ, the Son of God, in this meeting house this evening. We ask these petitions in and through the name of thy dear beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. The free offer of the gospel, a calling to men, all men, to repent and to believe, can be traced throughout the pages of Holy Scripture. In the calls and the invitations that were extended to humanity by God himself. In Isaiah 1 verse 18, we read the summons, Come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Matthew 11:28, the Savior said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Revelation 22:17, we read the invitation, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Before us this evening in John chapter 7, we have another of the gospel invitations issued by the one around whom the gospel revolves and centers upon. It's one of the most sweetest and sublime offers that Christ ever made during his earthly ministry. If any man thirst, the Savior said in verse 37, if any man thirst, let him come on to me and drink. This evening we want to consider those words. We want to consider the free offer of the gospel. We want to speak on these words by speaking this evening on the subject, an invitation. An invitation to the spiritually thirsty. An invitation to those who are spiritually thirsty. I trust that as we go through the message, that God would create in your soul, you who are out of Christ, would create in every sinner's soul a spiritual thirst after God. A longing to know Him. A longing to be acquainted with Him, a craving and a pining after Him, and that by the end of this meeting, that spiritual thirst would be slaked by a draught from the well of living water that God supplies to every thirsty sinner in the gospel. I want you to notice firstly concerning the invitation to those who are spiritually thirsty, I want you to remark the sender of the invitation. The sender of this invitation. Every invitation has its sender. The one who issued the invitation to come and to drink is identified as the Lord Jesus Christ, because our text says, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. The sender of this call to come was another than the eternal Son of God. The call did not come from one of his disciples. Did not come from a street preacher or from an evangelist or some other layman. But the call to come and to drink came from God's well-beloved Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Such a call from man's Creator, the sustainer of all things, He who is sovereign over all the affairs of this universe, such a call from such a one demanded a response from those who heard that divine call. Throughout His ministry, from those divine lips, there often dropped words of love and warmth and kindness and grace. Such was Christ's words that we read later on in this very chapter, in the verse number 46, that His opposers, those who resisted His preaching, the Sanhedrin officers, they reported to their oversight, never man spake like this man. How true it was. Notice something about the spirit of the one who sent out this invitation. Notice how earnest he was in his entreaty. Our text says that Christ stood and cried. The literal word in the Greek literally means to call aloud. To act as a public crier. The Son of God, as He addressed the festival masses, did not do so in a gentle or in a low whisper, but in a loud and in a clear and in a distinct manner, the eternal Son of God invited men and women to come on to Him. And tonight in the Gospel, the same Gospel invitation that dropped from the lips of Jesus Christ here in John chapter 7 is extended to you. You who are in your sin, This same invitation is extended to you, for it's through the preaching of the gospel that God in His mercy issues the call for you, the sinner, to leave your sin and to trust in Christ alone. As the gospel is preached, the invitation is extended, as a call is sent forth mysteriously and imperceptibly, God's voice, through the preaching of His word, summonses you, you who are afar off in sin, to draw nigh to Him in repentance, for it is on the grounds of repentance that you, the sinner, is accepted before God. J.C. Ryle, the evangelical bishop of Liverpool, remarked, without a divine call, no one can be saved. We're all so sunk in sin, so welded to the world, that we should never turn to God and seek salvation unless He first call us by His grace. How blessed is the thought, he went on to say, that this calling of sinners is committed to such a gracious Savior. Sinner, tonight I pray, and above the voice of this preacher tonight, you'll hear the voice of Christ, and that His divine voice, His loving voice, His caring voice would charm and ravish your soul tonight. I pray that the voice of Him who sighed in Gethsemane's garden, He who groaned on Golgotha's cross, would be heard in your inner being tonight, that it would melt your heart and that it would draw you savingly to the Christ of God. I pray that tonight you'll be able to say in the words of the hymn writer, I heard the voice of Jesus say, Behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I came and drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in Him. The sender of the invitation. I want you to see in the second place the recipients of the invitation. The recipients of the gospel invitation. As we have noted, the Lord Jesus Christ did not stand in some corner and issue the gospel invitation to a handful of people. Neither did He behind closed doors entreat a small band to come unto Him. Publicly, openly, freely, Christ indiscriminately called all before Him to come unto Me and to drink. Now Christ knew that all would not come, for God the Father had given to Him a people, and yet the Savior, He would come to them and would call all men to repentance. For He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He would have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And yet Christ, as He stood there that day, indiscriminately called all to come unto Him. Observe how this broad and far-reaching invitation is emphasized for us in the very words that the Lord Jesus Christ used. Notice what He says. He says in there, in the verse number 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto Me. If any man, any man. I want you to notice that the Savior did not add some adjective, some describing word. He didn't put some describing word before that personal pronoun, man. And He did not say, if any good man thirst, let him come on to Me and drink. He did not say, if any upright man, or any moral man, or any decent man, or any sober man, or any drug-free man, or any religious man, or any intellectual man, or any young man, middle-aged man, older man, if any of those come, they'll then get this thirst quenched by the life-giving water that I give. The Lord Jesus Christ did not add any adjective before this word. He just said, if any man, any man, any woman, if you thirst, Come on to me and drink, then you'll be satisfied in Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that he did not say, if any Davids come on to Christ. If any Davids come on to me and drink. He did not say, if any Berthas, if any Shawns, if any Yvonnes, Gilberts, Samuels, Sineads, Andrews, Vivians, if they thirst, let them come on to me, because such a specific invitation would exclude many in this land. For they do not bear those names. But it was to any man, any woman who thirsted, anyone who sensed this deep spiritual need, that the gracious invitation was sent to them. And so it is in the gospel. So it is in the gospel. The gospel invitation is extended to all. The true invitation and the true gospel preacher has been commissioned by God to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. So whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever your background is, God entreats you to come. Come and drink. And in doing so, you'll find all that you need, not only for time, but for God's great eternity. I tell you, that phrase, any man, can be literally translated any person. And that takes the likes of you and me in. Anyone. Whether you're a thief, adulterer, blasphemer, an idolater, an atheist, an agnostic, a drunkard, a drug addict, a self-righteous Protestant, a devout Roman Catholic, this invitation takes you in. It's wonderful news. Yes, even you. You with all of your sin, you with all of your guilt, all of your shame, all of your past, it takes you in. This gospel invitation takes you in. It takes in the whosoever. You may sit in this meeting and you may say, the sinfulness of my life, that bars me from coming to Christ. Can I say to you that your sinfulness does not bar you? C.H. Spurgeon, he said this, the more unfit, the more you are invited. Your very unfitness is your fitness. In other words, what he was saying that although you feel your sin and your guilt and your shame, and though you feel that bars you from Christ, what Spurgeon was saying was that is actually what should propel you to Christ. What should cause you to run to Christ. For there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners who plunge beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. And so, sir, you're not too bad to come to Christ. And you're not too good to come to the Savior. The gospel is for the whosoever will. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, put your name there, sir, for the first time put your name there, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Acts 10:43, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If God's word on it, surely it takes you in. The wide scope of the very word, yes, you sir, yes, you madam, whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, this word takes you in. As we sang tonight in one of our hymns, whosoever cometh, may the promise claim. Precious blood of Jesus cleanseth every stain. The Son of God has loved me. Wonder can it be, whosoever says the Savior, that means me. Take it. Take it tonight on the word of God that if you come to Him, He'll not cast you out. Tonight in the gospel, the Master has come and He calleth for thee. He's calling for you. You who crave pardon, you who thirst for absolution, you who long for mercy and grace and peace and rest and comfort and relief and hope of eternal life, He calls for you. Yes, you. Will you come? Will you heed the invitation? Not only hearing the invitation, but will you respond positively to it? The invitation is to you tonight. Will you come? The third thing in relation to the invitation sent to those who are spiritually thirsty. It can be noted, namely in this, I want you to see the details of the invitation. The invitation's details are recorded in the closing words of the verse 37. Let him come on to me and drink. J.C. Ryle again, he remarked on these closing words. He said this. He said, there is a grand simplicity about this little sentence which cannot be too much admired. He said this, there is not a word in it of which the literal meaning is not plain to a child. Let him come on to me and drink. It does not take a degree. It does not take education to understand what Christ was saying. I see in the details of these words, first of all, an approach. An approach that has to be made. Christ said to those who were spiritually thirsty, come. Come unto me. The word come carries the idea of a person having to leave where they presently are and move towards a different location. It's a moving from the place that they presently exist to the place where the person who is inviting them stands and occupies. It's a moving from where they are to where He is. There's a coming. There's a leaving behind, and there's an entering in. And so it is in the gospel. You see, this little word, come, it expresses an action. It's a choice of the will. It's a choice of the will. The individual can stand and reject the invitation, or by a choice of the will, they can move by the grace and by the help of God to the Lord Jesus Christ. God having already commenced the work within. God calls you tonight. It's a call to come. But the choice for you is where you leave. Will you leave where you spiritually are tonight? Will you leave where you are under sin's control and dominion and condemnation? Because He wants you to leave. He wants you to leave the misery and the guilt and the shame of your sin. He wants you to leave the disgrace of that sinful lifestyle that you're presently living. And we asked ourselves the question, where does He want you to come to? Well, quite simply, Christ declared to the condemned, guilty, disgraced sinner that they are to come unto me, unto Christ, unto the Savior. And many sinners, in their guilt and their shame, concerned over their souls, they foolishly come to the church. It does not say that. It does not say come to the church. It does not say come to a baptismal font. It does not say come to a communion reel. It does not say to come to a confessional box. It says come unto me. Come unto Christ. And to Christ alone. The sinner is commanded to bypass all such things to go higher, to go higher, and to come on to a personal Redeemer, to come to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ there on the central cross, dying there as your substitute, hanging in all of the shame and all of the guilt of your sin. See Him there as He's scorned. See Him there as He's smitten. See Him there as He's slain. See Him there as He's spat upon. See Him there dying, dying, dying for you. Yes, in all of the agony and all of the blood and all of the shame and all of the sorrow, Christ is dying for you, sir. Christ is dying for you, madam. And so you must leave. Leave where you are. Leave in what you're trusting. Who you're trusting. And get to Christ. Get to Christ, sir. Madam, get to Christ. There is an approach that has to be made. See, sinner, if you're to be saved, you need to have personal dealings with God. Understand that. You must have personal dealings with God. Your mother's salvation, your father's salvation is not sufficient for you. You must have personal dealings with God. You must know Christ yourself. You see, salvation is a very individual thing. It's a very singular thing. Yes, God may speak to many within a meeting, but God will single you out, and that means God is dealing with you. Let me ask you, has God been dealing with you? Over the months, the weeks that are past, has God been dealing with you? What a wonderful thing if He has. Oh, you must abandon all self-confidence and you must cast yourself upon the mercy of incarnate grace if you are to be saved. Substitute nothing. Substitute nothing for Jesus Christ and His once and for all sacrifice, because, folks, every other thing will leave you short of heaven. It'll leave you short of heaven. There is an approach. I want you to see, secondly, there is an appropriation or a taking, a seizing of something. Those who are spiritually thirsty, they're not encouraged to look at the drink. They're not, as it were, to stand and to gaze and hope and trust that by just looking at the drink that will quench the thirst. No, no, no. No, there must be a drinking. Let him come on to me and to drink. Now notice that the Lord Jesus Christ does not give the thirsty bread. He gives him water. He gives the sinner what the sinner needs. And in the gospel, all that the sinner needs to quench the soul's thirst is provided and given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the fountainhead of all spiritual blessings. To the troubled conscience, the blood of Christ brings peace. To the bankrupt in soul, Christ's redemption enriches the life with the riches that are in Jesus Christ. To the lonely in heart, the gospel brings a sinner into contact with a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. To the guilt-ridden mind, the Savior's atoning work secures a full and a free and a pardon from all sin. As John Calvin put it, Christ is not an empty and dry cistern, but an inexhaustible fountain, plentiful and abundantly supplying drink to all. Hence, if we ask from Him what we want, our desire will not be disappointed. It's not enough for you, sinner, to hope, or to wish, or to intend, or to talk about, or to resolve, or to mean someday to come and receive from Christ all that He offers to you in the gospel. No, there must be a coming. And then there must be a taking, a seizing, an appropriating of what Christ avails for you in the gospel. Faith is a hand that reaches out. And that hand must be reached out to receive Christ and the gospel. There must be a taking of Christ whenever you say, Christ for me, Christ for me. By faith, will you come to an all-sufficient Savior? Will you drink from the fountain of living waters? Will you with joy, as is recorded in Isaiah 12 verse 3, will you with joy draw water out of the wells of salvation? If you come, if you embrace Christ, can I tell you from personal experience, you'll never thirst again. Never. You'll satisfy the soul. He'll satisfy the heart. And He'll give you all you need. There is one final thing in relation to the invitation, and that is the response to the invitation. This week, Andrea and I received an invitation through the letterbox. It's to my cousin's evening reception. Unfortunately, it's whenever we're going to be in Glasgow. But there are four letters at the bottom of that invitation, RSVP. It's French, they tell me. Répondez, s'il vous plaît. It just simply means, please respond. And there's a certain date by which we have to respond to the invitation. It's actually tomorrow. All invitations carry such a response required, a response is needed, a reply must be sent, must be given. That's either positive, I'm coming, or negative, I'm not coming. So in the gospel, Lord Jesus Christ, there is a response that needed to be given. And it was given by these individuals who heard the invitation of Christ. Did you notice the varying responses? Notice there in the verses 40 and 41, many of the people therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? You see, some people, they believe that Jesus Christ was a prophet, but they failed to see Him as a personal Savior. Others believed that He was the Christ, He was the Messiah, heaven sent one, while others rejected such a notion, questioning if such a divinely commissioned individual could come from somewhere like the suburbs of Galilee. As a consequence, we read in the verse 43, so there was a division among the people because of Him. It's always the way. The gospel's preached. Some receive the word with gladness. They say, this is the Christ. This is my Savior. I'm coming to Him this evening. Others, they reject the Son of God. They reject the Savior. Others, they respond in a positive way. And they respond graciously to the invitation. Others, sadly and foolishly, they respond negatively. Not for me. The question in this meeting house is this. How are you going to respond? The invitation is for you, the whosoever. The invitation is for you to come. Come. Come to the Savior. But the question is, how are you going to respond? See, all in this meeting there is a dividing line. And I want to ask you, on what side of that dividing line are you on? Are you for Christ? Or are you against Christ? Preacher, I'm on the line. No. For Christ or against Christ? I pray that tonight you'll respond positively. I want you to see a final thing concerning and in this text in regard to the response. I want you to notice words that we find in the verse 37 of the chapter at the head of the verse. I want you to notice the timing of this invitation. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast. It was the last time that the congregation would gather in such a manner. By the time that tomorrow came, all will have dispersed from Jerusalem and all would have went to their home. The Savior on the last day issued the invitation. Can I say, it will be quite some time before I stand again in this pulpit. And so we could say it's the last day. It's the last day. And the invitation goes to you. It'll be the last time that I appeal to you to come to Christ. By the time that I return to this pulpit, it may be that your lifeless body will lie in some cold grave, and I'll have no other opportunity to invite you, Sir Madam, to come. And so it's the last day. Because, sir, whether you want to believe it or not, madam, whether you want to believe it or not, someday it's going to be your last day. And you'll get out of bed for the last time. And you'll put on your clothes for the last time. And you'll pour out your cornflakes into a cereal bowl for the last time. And you'll make that cup of tea or that cup of coffee for the last time. And you'll go to your work for the last time. And it may be that while you're driving to work, or while you're on the factory floor, or while you're making your way home, or while you're sitting eating your dinner, or while you're sitting in that soft settee watching your favorite program, gone. Gone. And you'll not hear the gospel ever again. And so the invitation is to come to Christ tonight. Let me end with the appeal that J.C. Ryle ended with. As he concluded his sermon in this very text, he said this. He appealed to the sinner and he said, sinner, are you sensible? Are you aware of spiritual thirst and longing for relief? Then hear the invitation which I bring to you in my Master's name this day. Hear and accept the invitation without delay. Wait for nothing. Wait for nobody. The hand of the living Redeemer is held out from heaven, but it may be withdrawn. The fountain is open now, but it may soon be closed forever. Though you have been a great sinner and resisted warnings, counsel, and sermons, yet come. Though you have sinned against light and knowledge, against a father's advice and a mother's tears, yet come. Arise and come. Come to Christ without delay. Tomorrow, for these people, would be too late. Christ was moving on. Tomorrow for you may be too late. And so today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart Christ awaits your response. Will you come? For the sake of your eternal soul, I pray that you'll come. And can I say that your coming to Christ will make my heaven two heavens, as Rutherford said, and your salvation will make my salvation two salvations. So come to the Saviour. Make sure tonight. Let's bow in prayer. As we've said, this will be the last time that we'll address you for some weeks. And so, like every other Sunday evening, could I encourage you, if you want to speak to us about spiritual things, indicate that to me at the door. We'll slip away. We'll take the Word of God and we'll speak to you concerning spiritual things. Our Father in heaven, we pray for those who are out of Christ in this meeting, for those who constantly resist, for those, O Father, who will not come. We pray that there might be a breaking in and a breaking down and the willingness to say, Jesus, I come to thee. We pray that you'll give the grace and the help required, and that men and women would step out on the promise and get under the blood. Secure souls tonight. Rescue the lost. Redeem the perishing. And we'll ascribe all praise and honour to thy glorious name. We pray this for his honour and praise. Amen.